Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is March the 28th for another Words of Grace podcast, and I have Scott Patty here.
Hey, Justin.
Hello. I remembered your last name. Last week, I forgot your last name in the podcast.
Yeah, you've only known me for 10 or 11 years.
10 or 11 years. Just forgot it, you know.
It's all right.
Yeah. Well, how are you doing today, sir?
As long as you remember your own name.
Yeah, I do. Today, I remember my own name. Tomorrow, maybe a different story. Yeah. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
You know, it's Monday.
Uh-huh.
Nice sunny day. A little chilly, but nice sunny day. And got a good start to the day. Good start to the week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Grateful to be here.
So after a Sunday of preaching and doing everything, is Monday like, you just jump out of bed, raring to go?
I never jump out of bed. I would say I roll out of bed.
Yeah.
If I jump out of bed, I'll break something, an ankle or something. I roll out of bed. I just woke up this morning early.
I was outside working out this morning, and the sun that came up was just beautiful. It was, you know, I always love the sunrises, but it hits the clouds. It's pretty. It was good to be out this morning. It wasn't too cold, wasn't too hot. It was great.
Well, too cold, too hot, that's relative. I thought it was cold.
Yeah.
I was out walking early this morning, and I was chilly. But it was good. It was. It was refreshing and praying. It's praying for our congregation.
Yeah.
That's, you know, one of the good things about, you mentioned preaching on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You know, you can pray leading up to preaching, and you can pray while you're preaching, and then you can pray after you preach.
That's good.
So I've learned one of the most important times, not only for me as the preacher, but to the all of us, the congregation, as we listen, is the time after the sermon, and that's goes right along with a parable that Jesus told about the sower and the seed,
right? Yeah,
and the soil, Mark chapter 4. And Jesus talked about how after the seed is sown, then things happen,
right?
You know, it's snatched or it's choked
cares
out.
Cares of the world, not,
it doesn't root, or it does root and bears fruit after it's sown. And so you want to pray. We want to pray for the hearts of people before as they hear, and then we want to pray for the hearts of people after, because that's when the proof of receptivity of the Word of God happens.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You asked me about the after preaching and today. Yeah, I don't recall specifically praying through yesterday's sermon this morning on my walk, but I did pray for our congregation.
Yeah.
Knowing that after the hearing of the Word is very important.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, great sermon. We're in John chapter 10, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And I got pages. People actually helped. I got people that are helping me think through this, which is always helpful. We've got every now and then a select group of people that just kind of we ask, hey, will you just send us in some questions? So we may not be able to cover them all today, but I think it was helpful to have, just instead of just me and you going, so what are we going to talk about today? It was great to have some feedback. So we're going to cover some questions.
These are people who heard the sermon yesterday.
Heard the sermon.
And they send you
I hope they heard the sermon. Yes.
Yeah. They send you some questions, some thoughts, because we're talking about clarifying, amplifying, and applying.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So they kind of all based on those areas, they kind of go, hey, this is what I was thinking, and what do you think? And so helpful to have some feedback. So first, let's do this. You were just really drilling down on the doctrine of the Trinity. I mean, that's really a lot of where we went.
We were in John 10.
That's right. So give us a little bit of an overview.
Okay, we were in John 10. It's the analogy that Jesus uses of the good shepherd and the sheep.
Right.
And toward the end of the analogy, he's talking. You'll have to go back and listen to the sermon. I don't have time to rehash the timing and all that, but just say it this way. At the end of the analogy, he is talking about how he has the sheep in his hand, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. Mm. And then he says, my Father is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes the big statement, I and the Father are one. Mm-hmm. John 10, verse 30.
Right.
So after explaining how he got to that statement, we parked on that statement yesterday and talked about what did Jesus mean mm-hmm. when he said, I and the Father are one? And then what does that mean for us?
Yeah.
So that was the gist of the sermon.
Yep.
And what we said he meant is he meant that he shares one essence,
yep.
the co-essential
right.
Nature of Jesus,
yep.
He's of one essence with God.
Yeah. Yeah. So great sermon. And so here are a couple of things that I was thinking about in your sermon that were very, very helpful to me. And I loved it in the narrative that you were pointing out, because it kind of starts off with the religious leaders asking him a question.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us plainly. And I love when you point out, like, did they really want to know the answer to that question?
Yeah.
But it's just, anyways, it's just helpful how you walk through it. And want to touch on a clarification question and then an application question.
Okay.
So the clarification question that came in from a lot of people, and I think we even had some conversations yesterday at church, is I believe it's verses 34 through 36 mm-hmm. of what does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me go to, I read it, but I mm-hmm. did not really address it in the sermon.
Yeah.
And here's what happened. Jesus said, I and the Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
The next verse 31, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. At that point, they know what he meant. He meant, I am of one nature, one essence with God.
Yeah.
So he's claiming deity. They knew it because they're going to stone him. He says, why are you going to stone me? Which one of the good works are you going to stone me? They say, we're not going to stone you for one of the good works. We're going to stone you because you have blasphemed. You are a man and you make yourself God. Okay. So they got what he meant.
Right.
At that point, Jesus, verse 34, the one you're asking about, Jesus is not trying to convince them that he meant that.
Mm-hmm.
They knew he meant
mm-hmm.
that he was of one essence of nature
yeah.
with God. Jesus is reasoning with them so that they can come to see that it's true,
mm.
which they don't by and large. I mean, some do later. We see people believe in him, but these people did not. So he's not trying to explain again what he meant. He's trying to show them that it's true. And the way he does it is he asks them a question. He said, isn't it written in the law? And then here's a quote. It says, you are gods, small g.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all he gives them.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it written in the law that I said you are gods? God said you are gods? What in the world does that mean? That sounds so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go back to where that happens, or that was one of the places, the place that's spoken is Psalm 82
mm-hmm.
and verse 6, and it's the quote, I said, you are gods. But it goes on in Psalm 82:6, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Okay. So what does that mean? Who's talking? Who's he talking to? So it appears in Psalm 82, the Lord has given his word, he's given his counsels, he's given his commands,
mm-hmm.
but they're not being obeyed. Verse 3, give justice to the weak and to the fatherless, maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. So he's saying, this is my word to you that I've given mm-hmm. you all the way back through Moses. And then it says, they have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. So these people are not walking in the light.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says, I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, you will die like men. Okay. The best interpretation or the interpretation I think probably fits this, because there are numerous. He's mm-hmm. like, one is he's talking to angels.
Mm-hmm.
Another is he's talking to the religious leaders of the day, or the rulers, the judges who are misjudging. Could be, that's plausible. Another one is he's just referring to the people who received the word of God, meaning the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
He's saying, you are small s's, sons of the living God. You are created in the image of God. Therefore, small g's, not deity.
Right.
But you're created in the image of God, and you're the sons of God because he's given you his word.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're disobeying
mm-hmm.
and you're going to die like all men.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jesus just picks up that little phrase, you are gods. And he goes, come back over to John 10. And he says, look, if God is able to say to his children who bear his image,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You're in my image, gods, not God, not deities, but you're the children of God by virtue of being created in my image. Then can't God also say to his son who is pre-existent, incarnate, you are my son, capital mm-hmm. S. Mm-hmm. It's just Jesus reasoning with him. Like, how much more? If he called these people created in his image sons, how much more will he not, will the one who was pre-existent, who took on humanity in the incarnation, be the son of God?
Right.
I think that's probably what that kind of...
So he's trying to pull back from the Old Testament to say, hey, if this happened, then mm-hmm. how much more can... I can be the son of
God. I'm the son of God, right. Yes, yeah. Because I am consecrated. I am sent by God. I am set apart as the second person of the Trinity, one with the Father, sent. I am the son of God. Mm-hmm. And there are other places in the New Testament that makes the distinction while also showing the relationship between Jesus as the Son and believers and followers as the sons of God. So it's just a point of reasoning, I believe. It's a point of reasoning that Jesus is giving them to say, you should be aware of this if you really understood your scriptures, the Old Testament.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. That's helpful.
It's a tough. I mean, it is kind of a strange saying. And what I did.
And he's only pulling out a little phrase that's going all the way.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But just to say, I was preaching yesterday and even preparing to preach and realized I
just don't have time.
Can't get it all in. Yeah. So that was one part that I didn't cover quite as much.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question I want to ask is more mm-hmm. about application. And for those that maybe they're listening to this and they didn't listen to the sermon, I would encourage them to go listen specifically to the last portion of your sermon, because there was definitely some good application there as we think about what does this mean for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's some good stuff. But there was one that came in, a question that you weren't able to address probably for time, but it was as they were thinking, probably because, Scott, in the text, when Jesus makes the bold claim mm-hmm. that I am deity, then they pick up the stones to throw. Yeah. That's a bold claim. Mm-hmm. It's one to say Jesus is a good teacher, but then you go, okay, now he's God. Mm-hmm. That's a bold claim. So the question we got is, what are some encouraging words that you would give people at Grace as we go out into the world and try to share the gospel and we get to that Jesus is God, mm-hmm. but obviously that's a very bold claim. Mm-hmm. How would you help us as we head out into the world to be able to share the truth about Jesus, that he is God, knowing that this is hard to grasp?
Yeah. Okay. I think that question might come from the fact that I mentioned, mm-hmm. I mentioned C.S. Lewis yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are lots of C.S. Lewis fans mm-hmm. and C.S. Lewis experts out there much more than I am. So I want to be careful that I don't come across as one. But I am reading a book right now called The Most Reluctant Convert. Mm-hmm. And the guy is David Downing. He's a professor, I think, in Pennsylvania. But anyway, he wrote this book that traces the thinking process, the spiritual search of C.S. Lewis from really mm-hmm. boyhood. Mm-hmm. Childhood, boyhood, up through adolescence and into his 20s before he became a Christian in his early 30s. And he said that Lewis had two conversions. One was a conversion from atheism to theism.
Right.
But obviously we know that's not a saving conversion.
Right.
But that was a necessary step for Lewis because he didn't believe in God.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later he had a conversion to Christianity where he came to believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God.
Yeah.
So that's probably what prompted the question is, what do we do when we're trying to talk to somebody about who Jesus is, and we get to Jesus as the divine Son of God, deity, God mm-hmm. in a body, as the Bible says, all the fullness of deity dwells in him bodily, mm-hmm. and they don't believe it, you know, or they're having a hard time with it. Well, I would say a couple things. First of all, we know that whether it's me or you or C.S. Lewis or anybody else on the planet, nobody comes to believe that Jesus Christ is something other than a good man without the Holy Spirit opening their eyes to see this and quickening their minds to understand it. So I would say the first thing we need to be doing is praying and asking that the Holy Spirit would do that work. Mm. No amount of reasoning can change a mind that is not changed by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so pray. I think the other thing I would say is present Christ. Present the claims of Christ.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We've said numerous times, you know, around here, how people come to faith reading the Gospel of John. We're in John.
Yeah.
You know, I would say just, one way to do it, just if you're reading it with them and you read, you get to verse 30, say, just stop and say, whoa, what are you hearing there? Do you hear, do you hear the claim of Jesus?
Yeah.
And let it sit there because the Holy Spirit uses just that claim.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing, so pray and just read the Bible, present it to them. I would say, you might have the opportunity to point people.
Mm-hmm.
To people like C.S. Lewis or others that have been converted from, you know, either atheism or agnosticism.
Yeah.
In other words, people that it was a real thing to just get the deity of Christ.
Yeah.
So let them read some of those things.
Yeah.
Certainly time.
Yeah, you know,
don't be afraid to have conversations in time. Bring them to church.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when you were talking about C.S. Lewis' stories. Like, this didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
And this was, how many times was he approached at some point about either the existence of God, but then definitely, you know, Jesus?
Yeah, well, this, you know, as this book, The Most Reluctant Convert, points out, I mean, he was all over the place.
Yeah.
He was reading everything.
Yeah.
And so, but the Holy Spirit used things. He started going to church after he became a theist, after he started believing God. He went, started going back to church. He was when he was a child, he went to church, but he went back to church. And so he's hearing, he's hearing the gospel. I'm sure he owns a Bible. He's reading.
Yeah.
But at some point it's 2 Corinthians 4, you know, it's God who said, let light shine in darkness, shone in his heart to give him the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. So if you want to know the real explanation, it's that the Holy Spirit opened his mind to see, shine in his heart to see that Jesus, that the glory of God's in the face of Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yeah.
So time and conversation, you know, don't panic, don't rush.
Yeah,
just talk and read and pray and answer questions. And if you don't know the answer, say, I don't know the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Go take them to church.
Yeah.
Invite them to your small group.
Yeah. There's a book that we've given a lot of people, Scott, at Grace called One-to-One Bible Reading by David Helm.
Mm-hmm.
Great book. And I like it too because at the back of the book, there's a short, I think it's like 8 to 10 week reading plan through the book of Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot like that. You read the text and it's like, okay, what does the text say about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you say?
Yeah.
Like, so it's having you wrestle with, well, if the text says that he is God, then how am I going to wrestle with that in my own life? And so I think you're right. I think it's just presenting them with the truth, the text, and then letting the text go to work.
Yeah.
And just being there to have those conversations.
Yeah. And yes, absolutely. And so... So I don't know that there's. I think one of the things that I have done, and we all do, maybe at some point, when we think about talking about Jesus and sharing the gospel with what we consider to be those hard cases, you know, the atheist, the person from another religion, So I don't want to downplay the importance of being able to point to resources and being able to give. Just some solid, basic reasoning, that is important. But I also think that we shouldn't assume that it takes some special knowledge on our part.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit. I mean, enough said.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is powerful. He is God, too. Yeah, this is the Trinity.
Yeah.
You know, we said the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he can convert a heart.
Well, it's just like what you think in the book of Hebrews when it talks about it being the word being a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. That it has the ability to cut to the soul. And so I think you're right. It's like, you definitely don't want to downplay great resources to point people to, like a biography of C.S. Lewis and let them think. But also don't downplay the power of the word that it has the ability to cut to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so, you know, at first, you know, they may go, I don't want to read that, but you know, just let it work and talk. Mm-hmm. And I said, don't worry about it. I think you're like, I think what I hear from you too is just be patient. you know,
be patient and trust the Lord to do the work.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but also I hear in that relationship, I hear get to know people and have good conversations.
That would be helpful. One more thing I'll say is I do think that's been a challenging thing is just calm, thoughtful conversation. I don't want to speak down or speak ill of things in the past necessarily. You know, I think there's probably some good and a lot of things that maybe also had some downside too. But I do know that at some point in the past, some of us who have been around kind of saw things as a packaged speech to when you're sharing the gospel and you make sure you get all the points just right. And if you mess up, you know, at least it wasn't intended that way. At least people like me, kind of messed up people like me would go, oh, well, if I mess that thing up, then, they're not going to come to faith in Christ or whatever. And, you know, I think we got to be careful with that. I think we just need to say, okay, I'm going to learn some good tools. I'm going to learn a gospel presentation. I do want the main facts, the nature of sin, the atoning work on the cross, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, the grace of God in all of that to offer forgiveness and life, repentance and faith. Yes, yes, yes to all that.
Right.
But I also think that one of the things that we need to return to is that those things are not to be programmatic. They're to be helps for us to just get to know people, love people, talk to people genuinely about the faith.
Right. Yeah.
And let God use that to
help people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. And I think too, we could talk all day about this, but I think too, just the, you know, sometimes you can get into how am I going to debate people and argue with people to get them to believe that Jesus is Son. And that can also, there's some of that can be really helpful in learning how to articulate your faith and a lot of other things that are happening in the world. But sometimes it can also backfire quickly. And we just want to argue all the time instead of just be a friend and listen.
And I don't know how much time we have on this, but I know you've talked to a lot of people, who are from other religions.
Right.
And you can speak to this, but I'll set it up just by saying my guess is that you've also learned there's no like magic argument that makes people go, oh yeah, now I see it. Yeah. You just, what do?
Because I mean, what you're talking about, the Trinity, I mean, most of the people in other faiths I've talked to, this is the one hang up. This is it. This is the hang up. And and you're right. I mean, you could have the most polished argument on the Trinity, and it just lands flat, and they just look at you like you're crazy, because it's exactly what you said the first one. It's the Holy Spirit. But I think it's just being present and letting them ask the hard questions, and even letting sometimes some of the questions come with a little bit of, I don't know if you really want the answer. I think you're just throwing a punch, but just let them throw the punch and go, okay, well, let's talk. You know, just, I think that's helpful. Just be present. I think you're exactly right. And that's all you can do, and just trust the Lord and lean on the Holy Spirit to do the work. So.
Well, would you be, so if you were talking to someone from another religion, though, you wouldn't be hesitant to say that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God and talk like that?
You'd
just put it out there, right?
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes it takes time to get there. You know, I mean, you look at Paul and when he was in Acts, you know, he didn't run to that right out of the gate to some conversations. It took some time to build up to that, and it does. And I just think it's the moment, you know, but also a quick one. It's like, well, we're basically the same, and go, I don't think we're basically the same. That's okay. You know, I think people want to all be the same, and it's like, well, no, I don't think we are, but that's okay. Let's talk about it.
Yeah,
what that
we
means.
Believe in Jesus Christ specifically.
And so exactly. And so Jesus is not just a good teacher. You know, he's divine, and let's talk what that means. And so, yeah, there's conversations, but you know, again, those happen when there's a friendship built for me in the past. I don't say, well, actually we're not the same. That's not probably a guy I meet in the grocery store, but it's definitely a guy that I've sat down and had coffee with. And it's like, okay, I can say those things and we can talk.
Yeah. So well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for a great sermon in John 10, and we'll be moving on to John 11.
We are.
Yeah. Some were wondering if you're going to go back to talk about the confusing verses, but we covered that. So
we
we're great.
Covered that.
Yeah,
we're,
great. Good. Well, we'll look forward to John 11 this Sunday.
Great. Thanks.